You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, alongside John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
We're packing and ready. We're packing heat. I don't care. We're just going to say we're packing heat. We're ready. It's playoff time.
Just about, yes.
Yes, Devin, are you ready?
Alan, I was born ready.
Oh,
I was born to be ready.
Well, today's show, whenever you're listening, on this show, we're going to talk about playoff matchups because, oh boy, do we have some matchups coming up. Playoffs start this Saturday, if you're listening. This week, if you're listening next week, well, they've already started, but playoffs are starting. Jazz, are going to be facing the Clippers. We don't know where as of yet. Let's delve into this. We've got a lot to talk to. Let's start with the Jazz.
Yep. Jazz are now 50-31. It's their first 50-win season since, 2010?
Yeah, 2009, 2010 season, I think.
2010 season. So the first 50-win season in 7 years. It's a great accomplishment. It came against the Warriors, and when I saw the Warriors were playing all their guys but Klay, I thought the Warriors would go ahead and win, but Jazz played a great game, hung in there with them. It was tied after the third, and both teams were playing their bench pretty much because George Hill didn't come back in, and yet the Jazz still won. So I was very pleased with that performance. And so, yeah, they're a 50-win team. They play the Spurs tomorrow night or tonight when people are listening to this. And the Spurs, I have yet to hear if they're resting guys. I would assume they would be, but who knows? But this is another season where it comes down to the last game and the Jazz are relying on somebody else to win or lose to affect their playoff chances. Last year, Houston was able to get that eighth seed because whoever they were playing sat all their guys. And this year, they need to win this game and they need the Clippers to lose. But Clippers are playing the Kings, and I would be surprised if Clippers lay an egg on that one. But you never know. There's still a minuscule chance Jazz could get home court. But either way, it's going to be the Jazz and the Clippers in the first round.
Well, now hold up, the Clippers. I mean, they killed themselves in the fourth quarter at home 2 weeks ago against this same Sacramento team. So let's not pull the ripcord on this yet.
But they've been playing great of late. You know, Doc Rivers talked about flipping a switch. Maybe they did flip the switch.
Yeah, maybe.
They won a few in a row. They're playing like they really, really want home court. In fact, I just double-checked, and last year it was also the Kings that we needed to win their final game of the season. And
yeah,
rolled over for the Rockets. And so here we are, 2 years in a row, hoping the Kings can somehow pull off a miraculous win. I don't think they're going to do it.
And for those who think the Kings are motivated by rest, what are they resting for? And also motivated by a pick? I'm sorry, but this one game is not going to make a difference in the draft for the Kings. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's not going to matter. So the Kings need to just play everybody and win. End of story.
Well, it doesn't matter for the players. It is still up in the air where their pick would be because Dallas, Sacramento, and Minnesota are all hovering around the same record. But, you know, as a player, I don't think... As a player, you don't really care if you're going to get the seventh pick or the eighth pick. And I would think you'd want to win your last game of the season. I can't imagine they would throw that game on purpose. I mean, it really doesn't matter. Between the seventh pick and eighth pick, it really doesn't matter. I hope they give it their all, and I hope they somehow pull off a miracle against the Clippers. But not holding my breath on that one.
But that would require the Jazz to win also, would it not?
Yes.
It would. And you'll recall what happened last year is Houston had already won before Jazz went into Lakers. So they started that game knowing that they had lost. And then that game wound up not being a game anyway. It wound up being this exhibition WWE match that the NBA still somehow counted as a game. So,
well, and I'm still holding out hope that the Jazz will beat San Antonio tomorrow night or tonight. And I'm just going to say, I mean, look, they just beat the Warriors without Gordon Hayward. Why not?
Why not?
I have a question for the both of you. So 50 wins, first time in 7 years. What's more impressive, 50 wins or 20, is it now 22 road games on the year? 21 or 22? I think it was 22. First winning record on the road in like a long time too.
That's cool, but I would still go with 50 wins.
Oh, I mean, I'm not taking away from 50 wins. I'm just suggesting that they're where they're at because they are a good road team, a very good road team.
I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to side with John a little bit, but I have to add something to it.
Okay.
It's the 50 wins with that many injuries.
Yes.
That is what is impressive. Mm-hmm. You know, the road wins are fantastic, but the fact that the Jazz have been so injury plagued all season. I mean, even against the Warriors,
right?
It looked for a moment like Dante was going to be going down with an injury. So, I mean, the Jazz have not caught a break. I feel like we almost jinxed it, guys. You know, we were talking at the beginning of the year. Do you remember that podcast we had?
Right.
And we're like, well, the Jazz can't possibly be as injury plagued as they were last season. And then they were.
Well, I'd also like to point out that we said that, but all of us picked the Jazz to win 50 games or 51, whatever it was, being healthy. And hello, 50 wins while not healthy. There's a lot to celebrate for the Jazz. I thought they've had they've weathered the adversity and they've done a very good job. So let's look at. I think we covered injuries, but they cost the Jazz. What did we say? 9 wins, you said?
Yeah, I believe it was 9 wins.
9 wins. Do you realize 9 wins puts you near that 60 win mark? That's wow. Wow. So, and if they're healthy, would you have ever believed they'd hit near 60 wins? I don't know. There's just a lot of what ifs we'd love to play to this point. The fact is we don't know how good the Jazz can be even now. And if healthy in the playoffs, can they put it together? I don't know. Anything else on the Jazz you wanted to discuss? Maybe before we go, did you want to talk about Alex Kennedy's piece or do you want to save that for a little bit?
Let's go ahead and talk about that because it's about Rudy Gobert and we should really focus on Rudy Gobert. He has played 80 games. Is he the only guy to play 80 games? No, Joe Ingles has played. Actually, Joe Ingles has played in all 81 games so far. So Ingles and Gobert have been the Iron Men. But Alex Kennedy's piece was a really good focus on Rudy Gobert, and it felt like an argument on why, you know what, Rudy really should win Defensive Player of the Year. And I hope other national guys read it and are persuaded by it because they're only 100 voters this time around, so it will really matter. The votes matter more per each individual.
No, I agree. Anything about the piece that shocked you, or maybe changed your? I mean, it's hard to change the viewpoint we've had of Rudy Gobert. Is there anything about it that caught your eye in particular?
Nothing shocked me. I really liked the quote in there about how he was going to talk to Hayward when the season's over and just ask him straight up, hey, do you want to win a championship? You should stay here. I liked that.
Yeah, and so did I. There's a couple of things that I really enjoyed, and that was one of them. But the way he talked about Rudy and the fact that Rudy, you know, he said, would I love to win Defensive Player of the Year, kind of a trophy like that for myself, for the country of France and all that? Of course I would. But he says, my first priority is winning basketball. That article bled winning desire from Rudy more so than I think. I mean, and we see it on the court. He puts it out there like he wants to win every single game. But there were just some interesting things that caught me in that one. And one, he really wants to win. It's all about winning basketball. And he talked about the offense and about how, well, I could probably get better on offense. I could probably do things to better myself on offense, but I'm not willing to do it at the cost of the team. I want to play within the confines of what the team wants to do because it will give us the best chance to win. I found that a very mature mark for Rudy. Wouldn't you agree?
I would.
So, I mean, that, and then the other one that caught my attention was when Alex asked a bunch of players about Rudy, and then even the Eastern Conference general manager, who remained anonymous, talked about what Rudy does to the game. And Booker, I think Booker is what stood out the most. He says, look, he demands respect from the opponents, and he takes charge and controls his opponents, and he wants to control the team. And I think Booker was talking about opponents, but I think on the same token, I think Booker was talking about the kind of leader that Rudy is, that he wants to, that he's a vocal leader, that he expects a high level of play out of his teammates. That's Karl Malone-ish and John Stockton-ish to me, isn't it? I mean, Karl and John demanded that out of everybody that played on the team. Raise your game and play with us. And I feel like we've got somebody now, Rudy, who expects that of everybody.
I want to read the quote from that Eastern Conference general manager. He said, Rudy is a defensive scheme unto himself. He makes it possible to pressure everywhere, and if you get out of position, he is there to alter a shot and high point a rebound. He's the only player one can say that about.
Defensive player of the year, people. That statement right there should be enough to sway everybody. I don't know what else to say about that. So,
great piece. Look it up on Hoops Hype.
Yeah, check it out. All right, you want to move on?
I do. Let's see. We covered that. So let's go to the general playoff picture.
Okay.
There are still some matchups that are up in the air, and we can go over those. But right now, if the playoffs started today, you would have first seed Boston against the 8th seed Bulls. You would have the 2nd seed Cavaliers against the 7th seed Pacers. You'd have the 3rd seed Raptors against the 6th seed Bucks. And you would have the 4th seed Wizards against the 5th seed Hawks. In the West, you'd have the Warriors and Blazers. You'd have the Spurs and the Grizzlies. You'd have the Rockets and the Thunder. And then Clippers and Jazz. Now, there are going to be a few games that could affect seeding tomorrow. I actually found that there are 7 games that can have playoff implications. So it'll be a busy final night. Let's just for the sake of argument, let's say the standings stay the way they are.
I want to ask you a question real quick before we do about the East.
Sure.
So I was looking earlier today before we had a chance to talk this tonight. I noticed in the East, 7 teams have clinched a playoff spot. Granted, they're not solidified in their spots yet, but 7 teams have clinched. The only two that have not, or the only one that has not, is the 8th seed, and that's the Bulls.
Well,
and the Bulls are fighting with who for that 8th spot? I forget.
It's actually 7th is not clinched,
wasn't it? I thought Pacers, I saw that it was.
No, Pacers are a game up on the Bulls in the Heat, but they are not clinched.
Okay.
Apparently, if they all end in a 3-way tie, they might lose. I don't know who. I'm just looking at ESPN standings, and they do not have 7th seed clinched.
Okay, I misread that then. I thought I saw that. But so I'm just wondering who holds the tiebreaker on all of those. I'm looking at the Bulls and in particular, and feel like, I mean, they could technically lose one, and suddenly you're going to have a 2-way tie at 41-41, and I'm just wondering who wins. But I don't know.
Pacers are a game up, and they play, looks like, a home game against the Hawks. The Hawks, due to their win tonight, are secure in the 5th seed. So I don't know if the Hawks might rest some players. And if they do that, then Pacers they have the game advantage, and that would be great for them. So if you're the Bulls in the Heat, you're hoping that the Hawks don't rest players and actually try to win.
And I feel and like
I don't know who has the tiebreaker with the Bulls in the Heat. Right. It looks like the Bulls have the tiebreaker against the Heat because they have the same record, but the Bulls are on top of them.
Okay.
So Miami, it looks like Miami needs Chicago to lose. And if Chicago doesn't lose, then it looks like they would need Indiana to lose for them to have a prayer, just because the way all the math works out, which is kind of weird. Miami, their fate's in their own hands. But the thing that Miami has going for them is that I think Toronto has the tiebreaker, even if the Raptors and Wizards play each other. So I'm pretty sure that's the case, in which case Washington might rest some players, and that would give it to Miami. Chicago's playing Brooklyn. Chicago's going to win that game.
Right.
And Brooklyn isn't motivated to rest, but they're just an awful, awful team.
Yes.
So there's a lot of information there. And the funny thing about the last game of the season, and this is becoming more and more common as the years go on, and it's going to get worse as the years go on, is all these final day implications depend on what teams are resting. And that you didn't hear about that 20 years ago, but now it's just the facts of life. Most of the team are going to be resting players in the final game unless they're planning for something. so you have seven games that could affect the playoffs, and in all seven of those matchups, one of those teams could be resting players.
Yeah. All right. So based on the standings as is, I'm curious though. Yeah. Okay. Based on the standings as is, how do you see it play out in the East? I think Boston should win that first round. If it is Chicago, regardless of who it is, I think Boston should win. Cleveland, I expect Cleveland to win. I just don't see them losing until they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You got Toronto, Milwaukee. Toronto should win that series. Washington, Atlanta, that's an interesting series, but I still think, I don't know, Atlanta's been hot lately, but I still think so is Washington. I think Washington wins that series. Do you disagree with any of those?
Yeah, Atlanta's been hot lately, but Washington's been hot too. I look at the East, and I just see the top seeds all winning. I think Celtics, you know, that could be a bloodbath. Cavs, Pacers, that could be a bloodbath. Raptors have this monkey they need to get off their back of underperforming in the playoffs. I think this is the year they finally overcome that and do make it to the next round. And then Wizards, the Hawks were free-falling there for a while. I just think the Wizards are hungrier. And so I don't see any upsets in the first round in the East.
Okay. Well, and I'm in agreement with you. So
if those are what the matchups wind up being, yeah.
Right. And even if they aren't what the matchups, I might just...
If they aren't, I still expect Celtics, Cavaliers to all go to the second round.
Totally agree. So Boston, Cleveland, Toronto, Washington all advance. So there we go. That's our first round predictions. And granted, by the time we record next week, we'll be right in the middle of the first round. But that's our look into it. Okay, West. In the West, you've got Golden State, Portland, San Antonio, Memphis, Houston, OKC, and the Clippers in Utah. And I'll tell you what, there are, well, aside from Golden State, Portland, I could honestly say the three other matchups are going to be very interesting. I don't know that you can pick a clear-cut winner in San Antonio, Memphis, Houston, OKC, or Clippers, Utah. Can you?
San Antonio.
You think so?
I know the Grizzlies have matched up great with San Antonio in years past, but the Grizzlies have just been weaker this year. They just seem like a team that's been around for a long time, and they've been together for a long time, and they're on the decline.
Okay. All right. So, and that those are all valid arguments. I just wondered because of matchups based on the past, but I can't disagree with you on that one. OKC and Houston, I think, is going to be closer than folks expect a 3 and 6 seed to be. Is there any reason to believe that OKC couldn't possibly upset Houston in that series too?
Yeah, it's possible. it'll be an interesting matchup. I mean, the thing that why I think Houston's still going to beat the Thunder is Houston just has they have a better supporting cast around Harden.
Right.
I should have looked up their head-to-heads. Houston looks like they let's see 1-1, 2-1. Is that it? 3-1. Houston has a 3-1 series over the Thunder, which right. sounds about right. So,
but to save face,
and the average score will be 125 to 115.
Okay, I was just gonna say to save face, let's not talk about season matchups because if we do, then right away we're gonna say the Jazz are doomed in the first round. So we don't want to go off of season matchups completely, do we?
Yeah, but we can blame all that on injuries.
Okay, fair enough.
It's all injuries. No,
but there are a lot of storylines to look at here too. I mean, Golden State and Portland, they faced each other in the playoffs. What was it, last year in the second round, I think? San Antonio, Memphis is like a perennial matchup in the playoffs. Houston and OKC.
Yeah, Spurs do not like playing the Grizzlies, and those are usually grind them out games, kind of right. unpleasant to watch.
Agreed.
I don't think there's a single national sports writer that's looking forward to Spurs Grizzlies.
Okay, another small storyline in that game, brother against brother.
Oh, that's true, though.
The Gasol like brothers. That. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's a storyline to watch for. The Houston OKC series. Devin, you agree with me or not, the two MVP candidates going up against each other in the playoffs, that is going to be incredible to watch. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your nonchalant, yeah. I mean, think about it, guys. And anybody listening, seriously, Westbrook versus Harden.
Well, it's even better this season because of the move from Harden from a two to a point guard.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a head-to-head battle between the Beard and Brody.
And I would imagine by the time those teams face off, when do they announce the MVP? Is that not till the second round?
I think they're announcing them all in June. Instead of stringing them out like they usually did, they're just going to announce them all in June, maybe even all on the same day.
Okay, that disappoints. That's disappointing to me already because I was hoping for a chip on a shoulder of one of those two guys in the playoffs because I think that would be even more fun to watch. But okay, still that's a matchup made in heaven, and I think it's going to be a really fun one to watch for everybody. And finally, the Clippers and the Jazz. That's a series that, as Jazz fans, we're hoping they're healthy and the Jazz can be. I think the Jazz are going to beat the Clippers. I'm just going to come right out and say I believe the Jazz will win the series. And I'm going to call it in six.
I like that.
Bold prediction.
I like that. One thing that I really enjoyed out of the Golden State game is you had Hill back, and he just makes such a difference.
Yeah, he does.
It really sucks that we've only had him for 48 games. But man, the thought of Hill and Hayward and Gobert being all together again on the floor, that is a big three to put up against the Clippers big three. So yay, verily, I'm well pleased with that matchup. It'll be tough because, you know, they won't have the home court. So it's one of those where they're going to go into LA. It's going to be a playoff crowd. But man, if they can steal one of those first two games, the atmosphere here is going to be incredible, and I'm just ecstatic that we're finally get to talk about playoff basketball for the Jazz again.
Well, you also have to think about the Jazz have Favors coming back, who's been missing a lot of time as of late. You've got Joe Johnson, who's come on strong, especially lately. You know, I think you're going to see a playoff Joe Johnson, which is huge. What did you think? I just want to kind of backtrack for a minute. What did you think about JB, Ballin' Boy, getting minutes at the Warriors?
Oh, I loved it.
You think we're going to see him a little bit in that series?
I would want to say
highly
no.
I highly doubt it.
If they're healthy, I don't think Quinn goes beyond about an nine-man rotation, eight-man probably. And that's just normal in the playoffs. You tighten your rotation, and he's got – You can go to, I don't know how much time Burks is even going to get in the series. I think you're going to see a lot of Joe Johnson, a lot of Boris Diaw for the specific reason that we brought them in, or the Jazz brought them in, because of their experience. So I don't think Quinn goes much deeper than 8 or 9 guys.
I don't know. I don't think so either, but his defense, the way he played defense.
Ballin' boy.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a body that could match up against Griffin.
Okay. I agree.
You know, I wonder if he sees any time. I don't think he'll see extended minutes or anything like that, but you know, it'd be good for the Rook to get a few playoff minutes in. Even late in games, but you know, we could say that about any player. It'd be great for any of our guys to get playoff minutes.
Right. John, what did you have to say?
The way it's stacking up is we could have everybody but Neto available for game one.
Right.
Neto, it looks like his ankle, he probably won't be able to play in the first round. If they make it to the second round, that's about when they expect him to be back is, you know, this says 1 to 2 weeks. So I wouldn't count on Neto in the first round. But if they have everybody else, Ballin' boy, I don't see him getting any time. Because you'll have Favors, and then you have Johnson backing him up, and you have Dia for spot minutes here and there, with E for spot minutes here and there. I just don't see Ballin' boy making it in there with the big guys.
Bring me back down to reality.
sorry, Weber State grad. I know you want to see Weber represented. It's going to be tough for a rookie who hasn't seen a lot of playing time Weber, for the season.
Weber has someone who will put on a show in the playoffs.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I expect Lillard to do so. So I want to ask some questions about this series. Before I do so, I want to mention one thing to what you said, Devin. In this series, obviously your big matchup is going to be Rudy versus DeAndre Jordan. But I think a separate matchup to watch. There was another piece I read, and I think it was on The Ringer today, that had talking about, what was it, Devin? You're shaking your head. Remind me what it was about again. Do you remember?
About the Jazz.
Yeah, do you remember what it was?
No, I didn't read it. I just saw that it was out there. It was on my, you know, to read list, just haven't gotten to it yet.
I think it went into detail about the Jazz in the playoffs and what to expect and some of the veterans playing. I think it was what it was. I can't remember, but one of the things
I found it. Utah Jazz are the most interesting team in the first round.
Yeah. And I think the article, and don't quote me on this, I'd have to go back and look through it, but I think it addressed some of the matchups you can watch for and some of the things to watch for from the Jazz. One of those being what to expect from Rudy and Gordon, of course, but then also the matchup with Blake Griffin. Who's going to match up against Blake? I mean, a healthy Derek Favors, can he guard Blake? And if not, you know, do you go to your bench and have Joe Johnson guard him, or do you go to Hayward, who has started to learn how to play that four and has proven that he can hold his own against Blake Griffin? Some interesting side matchups I'm looking for in the series.
Well, you said healthy Favors. Yes, a healthy Favors can guard Griffin.
Right.
Anytime. Hayward, yes, he can get in some possessions to defend Griffin, and he's shown he can hold his own. Griffin, but when it comes to defense, he can eat alive Joe Johnson. He can eat alive Boris Diaw. It's just a matter of really hoping that Favors will be able to, you know, be 80% of his old self.
No, agreed. So my question then on that is, number one, who's your X factor on the Jazz team in this series that you think will be that extra spark needed to win?
This series, you need Hayward to play like he usually does, Rudy to play like he usually does, and the X factor is going to be George Hill taking on Chris Paul.
Okay. Devin, what's your X factor? Is it the same as John, or do you got somebody else in mind?
I don't know. I mean, you kind of have to expect that George Hill is going to be the George Hill we've seen, who is putting up all-star numbers this season, and you have to expect that Favors will be healthy and be able to play with Griffin. I see. I was going to say Rodney Hood,
and this, I'll tell you why is, I'm gonna is going think to think that he's
is going to need to be your X factors because you're going to need that extra offense. But I'm wondering about Dante Exum.
Okay,
because Dante seems like he's coming into his own form. You guys watched the Warriors game, right?
Yes.
You saw how aggressively Dante was going to the basket.
Yes.
You need that Dante. You need the Dante who, if you remember, I think it was early this year at the Clippers, he had that defensive stop to seal the game. Wasn't it against Crawford or someone like that?
I think so.
You know, so I don't know. I'm going to say Dante.
Okay. And here's why I think Hood is important in this series. You look across the board, you could say Chris Paul, George Hill could be a wash. You could say Blake Griffin and either Gordon Hayward or Derek Favors could be that wash. You see that the two centers could be the wash. Who's the one guy on the Clippers, maybe two guys that might be just crucial for the Clippers? J.J. Redick coming off the elbow shot.
There's Redick, there's Crawford, and I would say Austin Rivers, because Rivers has been a Jazz killer.
And you look at one or two of those guys, and who has them defensively? Rodney Hood. I think Hood's defense, or Dante Exum. I think Hood's defense is going to be crucial, but I also think his offense will too.
And a note about the Clippers, it doesn't look like Rivers... It's very possible Austin Rivers won't be ready to be back in time for the playoffs.
Really?
In which case, it would be Raymond Felton as their backup point guard.
Okay, that's huge.
Yeah.
Does that favor Exum in that matchup? Because I think Exum's much quicker than Felton, but Felton's crafty. Does that favor Exum?
Yeah, I think Exum can defend. He has brain farts sometimes. I'm really worried about Exum on offense. And the Clippers know that when Exum's in the game, they can guard everybody else and they will give Exum his open shots. And, you know, Exum hasn't been hitting him lately. So that they're going to do that. I expect them to mess with Exum. I expect a repeat of them doing to Exum what I can't remember the team, but when Ronnie Brewer was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And whoever we were playing, they were just playing. It was the Lakers.
Yep.
Yeah, they were just playing 15 feet off of Brewer, and he couldn't get messed with him.
Well, I
expect Dante to get the same treatment.
And this series is going to be, there's going to be a lot of switches, and I think Doc is going to push a lot of switches for the mismatches. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. I mean, sure, everybody knows the Clippers for their lobs, but I really think that mismatches, especially if you bring in Crawford off the bench and they run a couple of screens for him and he suddenly has Jeff Withey guarding him or somebody else like that, suddenly Crawford can light it up. And so mismatches are going to be huge in this series, and whoever owns that mismatch is going to be big. I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be a very fun series, regardless of where home court sits. All right. Any other thoughts on the playoffs or the Jazz Clippers?
Nope. Can't wait.
All right. Let's move on to listener questions.
Let's see.
I do have a few that have come at me.
I didn't get any. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you get some?
I'm getting some from one of our, I know he's going to listen to me, so I should choose my words wisely, but I'm not going to. Brian, seriously. he sends me these crazy, what did he say? Let's see. He says, with all these fantastic billboards, what are the rules on using trademark logos for non-official uses?
A lawyer question.
Yeah, and he even puts in a picture of George Hill, and in the background, George Heel. That's funny. That's really funny.
Legally, you cannot use the officially licensed logos and things like that. To my knowledge, I'm sorry, it's been about a decade since I've done copyright law, but...
Yeah.
I do think we need copyright law reform and patent reform, but... this is one of those clear cases where you wouldn't be able to do it.
Okay. All right. His next question, he said, so is Jedi Zog still on 51 wins this year? Yes, Brian, I'm still on 51 wins. And by the time you're listening to this, there's one more game to get to 51, and I still believe the Jazz will get there. Let's see.
Preview for next week. We're going to go over our preseason predictions and see how close we came on them, at least as far as records go.
And then he asked... I was going to say, and then he asked me if I sold my soul to the Dark Lord. Brian, you be the judge, okay? You be the judge. All right, that's all of the listener questions from Brian.
Wait, didn't he have a LeBron question?
Did he? I can't seem to find it. I'm looking for it. And I'm not... do you want to tweet out at him while we're talking on the show and see if he had a LeBron question or no?
Maybe. I just know he's a big fan.
Oh, he loves LeBron. He thinks LeBron's the greatest.
Well, he's not wrong.
No, he's not. And I'm enjoying the fact that he's cringing while he's listening to this right now. So, yeah, there you go, Brian. Okay, that's it for listener questions. I didn't have any other thrown at me. You didn't have any others come to you. So let's move on. Devin, do you have some quick hits?
I figured we talk a lot of basketball, so I'm not really prepared with quick hits. If you want, I can throw a few out there. There's one I wanted to talk about, though.
What's that?
I have a singular quick hit that I know off the top of my head.
Okay.
The Mavs got a new player. Did you guys hear about that?
I saw that. That was awesome.
I did not. Who is it?
A Mr. Tony Romo suited up and was on the bench for the Mavericks' last game of the season. And I believe, I have not seen it, but I saw the headline that Carlisle faked like he was going to put Romo in the game. And I want to know, should he have, in your opinion?
I saw the clip. I thought he should have. I thought it was really funny. He like walked right up next to Carlisle and he's patting him on the shoulder. And then Mark Cuban like runs out there and grabs Romo and yanks him off the court. It was pretty funny.
My question is, would the NBA even allow it? Because if he wasn't on the roster, would they even allow it?
They should have put him on the roster.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying if he wasn't on the roster, I don't think – I wonder if they'd get a
They have 15 guys? I thought they could sign him for one game.
Yeah, but if it wasn't listed on the roster before the game, I believe they don't have the option of bringing him in. Did they?
I thought they did.
Okay. All right.
They only have 14 guys on the roster right now. So, yeah, I think they did have him on the roster to put him on the bench.
They should have cut Dirk.
They should have put him in. I mean, it would have been, I don't know if there's insurance purposes or what. The Mavs were down 15 with 2 minutes to go. It wouldn't have hurt anything. I thought it was funny that they just even teased it. So
what would be funny is you put him in and off of an inbounds pass, have him throw the deep ball to a lightning fast running J.J. Barea for a layup.
Yep.
Yeah. Silence and then the half laugh. All right, fine.
I'm just thinking about him, you know, throwing a turnover.
Oh yeah, that's true. Let the Romo
getting
jokes...
injured and I
let the Romo jokes continue. Okay. I know you're still looking if you don't have any others, but I was gonna throw one into your pot though. Masters. Did we see Sergio win his first ever Masters?
That was, I mean, I was happy for him. I was surprised it was his first. His name is just seems like he's been around long enough that I would have assumed that he would have won one. But yeah, good for him.
Well, isn't it now, is it his first Masters or his first major?
Someone had said it was his first major, but I believe one of my Twitter tweets.
Yeah.
Said that he had already won a major.
Okay.
But I don't know.
No, it looks like that was his first major.
Was that his first? Okay.
So congratulations to Sergio Garcia.
Yeah. ESPN, Sergio Garcia is a major champion for the first time.
That's congratulations.
Can you really trust ESPN? I mean, as I look at like ESPN for ideas for quick hits, I got one for you.
Okay. Okay.
Wolves. Timberwolves. Yes. Getting a new logo.
I like it.
This is where we need to have an episode again. We need to call Zach and have him back on. We need to talk Timberwolves. I'd love to hear his thoughts. Maybe I didn't notice it on his timeline if he talked about it. But yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it. What's does it look pretty good?
Yeah, it's throwback, which I dig.
Okay.
We're just going to kind of wing this right now. John, talk about the logo while I pull it up and I can show Alan.
It's a cool looking logo that we talk about on an audio podcast about this visual thing.
Oh, dear.
The wolf they're doing.
It has a wolf. Wolf.
The wolf is howling.
Ooh, okay.
The color scheme is different.
Now I see it. I do like it. It is a throwback. That's impressive. I like that. I actually like that a lot better than the one they've had.
It kind of goes back to like the, who was it? What was his name? Ryder. J.R.
Ryder.
J.R. Ryder.
Yeah.
The dunk guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of the logo that they were rocking back then, right?
Wasn't that Ricky Davis days too? Or had they already changed it when Ricky came around? See, again, this is where we need Zach. Zach, we need you. Yeah.
Wait. There's multiple logos here, John. I think I showed Alan the wrong logo.
Oh, gee. Thanks a lot.
What?
All right. So
just say you showed him the right logo and let's change.
Yeah, we'll just say it's sweet.
There's a lot of logos.
Yes.
And you should go look at all of them and all pick your favorite.
Now, I do want to change the subject, and if there were a way to pull him in here. We didn't talk last week. Oh, there you go. That's okay. I see it now. But we didn't talk last week, but your brother had an opportunity a couple weeks back, didn't he, Devin?
Oh, are we going to talk about this?
Oh, we are going to talk about this. If only we could get him in here to talk, because I would love. So, John, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you caught it, but Devin's brother, Nigel, had a chance to play a little FIFA soccer with Gordon Hayward. And they sat they sat next to each other, and I believe, did he assist Gordon, or did Gordon assist him for the goal?
Gordon assisted him for the goal.
Yes. So it did, and it was a good experience, was it not? I wish Nigel was in here. I'd like to ask him, but I saw pictures of him. You showed a video. So kudos. And I really appreciated seeing that whole event as a whole. It looked like Gordon was really, really fun to play games with for a lot of people, and it was a great event that they did.
Yeah, it was the America First Credit Union Gaming with Gordon promotion that they did, competition. They held it down at City Creek at the America First Innovation Center, I believe is what it's called.
Okay.
And so they had us go into this room. Essentially, it's, you know, a bunch of TV screens and computers, stuff where you can go and do your banking, I believe. But they have like a wall of TVs in there, and I want to say it was like 15 TVs, like a 3x5, you know, wall of screens. And so they played some FIFA, they drew some winners while they were there, and they had Gordon playing with one winner, and then two of the other winners playing on a team against Gordon and the other guy. But it was really cool. I mean, just to sit there and watch them playing. I mean, you know, my younger brother sitting right next to Gordon and talking as they're playing the game, and, you know, Gordon assists on a goal.
And it looked to me like your brother was even offering some suggestions to Gordon and vice versa about what was going on in the game. It looked like they were sharing little secrets for playing. I don't know. That's just what I gathered.
No, it was really cool because it was so casual. You know what I mean? I don't know about you guys, but when I go meet someone for the first time in terms of a celebrity, it doesn't matter how much I like them or admire them. I don't really go full fanboy about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's always kind of awkward, but this was just such a comfortable environment of playing games and, you know, people talking and watching. There were, I don't know, 40 people in the room, maybe. But just a really cool experience. And Gordon seemed very down to earth. They did an interview with him beforehand, and he was surprisingly soft spoken. I mean, I've watched the post game interviews and everything else and, press conferences, but he just seemed very down to earth And when he came walking in, it wasn't like, oh, there's Gordon Hayward, the NBA basketball player. It was like, oh, there's Gordon Hayward, the guy that I know from high school or whatever. He wasn't right. that intimidating.
Well, and what I also see from this, and kudos to the Jazz and Gordon for putting this on and doing other events, but I remember a quick hit we did a few weeks back where we talked about EA Sports. Gordon's a pioneer, wouldn't you say, both of you, in the EA Sports world with what he does and the attention he's getting over the gaming? Wouldn't you say he's somewhat of a pioneer?
Yeah, he's brought a level of respectability. And I go back to his interview with Colin Cowherd, where Colin Cowherd was just trying to treat it like a big joke, and Hayward was schooling him basically and saying, no, this is something serious. There's big money in this. There's a lot of people involved with it. This is a real thing. It's not something you can just laugh off and snicker at. So
no, I agree. And what I also like about it is the opportunity that these athletes, in this case, Gordon and other athletes, I mean, I guarantee you, and you know, I haven't talked to some of the gamers, but I would imagine that Gordon plays against just your average fan in gaming sometimes. I don't think he keeps it tight-knit to just his close friends. I would imagine some of the games he plays, I bet he plays against, you know, over online and live events, he probably plays against fans, and they probably know each other from having played. And I think that's pretty cool that the athletes involve themselves in a community like that and play on a regular basis with just your average everyday fan. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, very, very cool event, though. My hope would be that they do it again. That there was some trash talk going on about Mr. Ingles.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm hoping that Joe re-signs with the Jazz and we can maybe make this a bigger event. You know, because Rudy games, Dante games, I mean, let's go all out on this and do like a tournament style where each player gets to assemble their team or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. So, all right. Well, let's move on to our final. Do we have anything else? Do you have any other quick hits? Do we have anything to add?
No, we've talked a lot of hoops.
Okay.
I'm sure there's other stuff. You know, baseball's going on. NFL draft will be coming up shortly.
Yes.
But let's just stick with that for now. And you know, we're going to be pretty basketball focused for the next few weeks, I think, because this is
agreed.
This is our time of year.
Yes, it is. All right. With that, let's move over to pop culture. John, do you have what do you got for pop culture this week?
I didn't see any new movies this week, so I would just talk about one thing I wanted to talk about last week but didn't really get a chance to is we had the season finale for The Walking Dead.
Okay.
No, actually, now that I said about that, I think I did bring it up. But I just wanted to say that it ended on a really high note, and I'm looking forward to next season. And Better Call Saul started last night, and it's great. I really liked the premiere. I'm really excited where it's going, and anyone who ever watched Breaking Bad and liked it is probably already watching Better Call Saul. But if you didn't give it a chance, I would say still give it a chance. And I would also say it stands alone. It stands on its own.
Okay. And I'm trying to think. I haven't seen any. Oh, I did see a movie, but I don't know that it's fair that I can review it or judge it because I walked out in the middle of it. Took my son, my wife, and one of my daughters. We went and saw Power Rangers on Saturday.
And you walked out?
I will tell you why I walked out. And those who, yeah, go ahead, get at me if you want to. I have a weak stomach, and the way they filmed this movie, John, you understand filming better than I do cinematography, but it is not, it's a first person point of view almost. What do they call that when they
shaky cam?
Oh, it's pretty much a shaky cam. Yeah. I mean, the very opening scene of the movie.
Yeah, I understand that. I saw, did you ever see Cloverfield?
No.
Cloverfield was one of those found footage movies that had a lot of shaky cam to the point where I actually had to like not look at the screen for a minute because it was making my stomach nauseous.
Did you ever see Echo? I think it was Earth to Echo.
No, I never did.
Okay. That was another one that was very amateurish on a professional level, if that makes sense. So it had a bit of shaky cam to it. But this one, the very opening scene, the star of the show was escaping in a truck from a scenario where he got into a bit of trouble. And you were like the guy riding in the back seat with him in the truck. And so you're following the camera as he's weaving in and out of cars, as he gets in an accident. It's just, it's very, you know, that scene right there set the tone. I'm like, please tell me this is going to change. And it never really did. There were calm moments where I was able to calm, but it wasn't even midway through the movie. I just thought, all right, I got to take a break. And I got up, went out in the hallway, sat down for 20 minutes and said, there's no way I can go back in and finish this. And so I didn't. My son watched it, enjoyed it. I've not heard great reviews about it. I just, my weak stomach would not allow me to finish it. Just not at all.
Right.
So I don't know if I'd recommend it to go see it. You know, I got to give props to a good friend of mine, Brock, out there on Twitter. He's a big Power Rangers fan, and I gave it a go, Brock. I tried to watch it. I couldn't survive it, so it just couldn't happen.
Too intense for Alan.
So that was my one movie experience of the week. There's a few more movies coming up I want to see. What did you think of the teaser trailer of Thor Ragnarok?
Oh, that was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah?
I mean, I think sometimes, you know, I really enjoy the Marvel movies, but sometimes they feel too much like a product on an assembly line.
Okay.
And there's kind of elements to that Thor movie too, but I loved Cate Blanchett as Hela, and I love the idea of Thor being broken down and thrown into this gladiator situation. And, you know, I knew Hulk was going to show up, but I also loved Jeff Goldblum as the Games Master. That just felt like perfect casting. So I think Thor looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
So do I. And I laughed when Hulk came out and you see Thor go, yes,
yes,
I win this competition already. We're friends. And here comes Hulk. So I am looking forward to it. It's not my favorite Marvel film, and it's not the one I'm looking forward to most this year, but it's definitely one I want to see. I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2 more than anything. I am Groot.
Oh, I know what it is. This Thor movie, yeah, it reminded me of the feeling you get from watching like Ant-Man or Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's kind of this side property. You know, it's not the main property, so it feels like they can have more fun with it.
Okay.
And I would say this looks like the most fun Thor movie yet. So,
well, it's already that's what I
liked about it.
It's already raised a lot of questions for me. You know, his cut hair. You can't cut the guy's hair. Come on, people. And then,
but they can if you crush his hammer.
I know, that's the other thing. His hammer getting crushed. I'm like, seriously? So yeah, I've got a lot of questions about this film, and I am definitely looking forward to it. So, can't think of any other.
Oh, and the new Star Wars preview is supposed to come out this Friday.
Yes. Star Wars Celebration begins Thursday. And from what I've seen from the Star Wars show, the weekly show that they do, they release on Twitter and YouTube, that the opening panel, the 40th anniversary panel, is a must see. So if you're a big Star Wars fan, you're not going to be there, then turn on your YouTube channel Thursday morning. I think they said like 11 o'clock. So what, like 10 o'clock our time? Turn it on and watch, because it's a must see. And they didn't say why, but there are a lot of reasons that they're suggesting. So, and I'm sure there's announcements, possibly a trailer, like you said. I'm really excited overall for the event, and wish I was there. All right. Anything else on the pop culture scene?
I saw an advertisement for a movie, and I don't know, John, maybe you've heard of it coming up. I think it's coming out in May. Have you heard anything about the new King Arthur movie?
Yeah, Guy Ritchie's directing it. He's the guy who does the Sherlock Holmes movies. He also did a lot of fun British crime movies like Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. But yeah, it's a new approach to the King Arthur legend. It looks different enough that I think it'll be interesting. And they, it's Charlie Hunnam, who is best known from Sons of Anarchy and Pacific Rim. He's going to play Arthur, and he's going up against Jude Law as some evil king. And it looks like there's some magic involved. Jude Law, who was also in the Sherlock movies, so there's your connection. But he's playing the evil king at the time, and so it's all about how Arthur like overthrows this king to become the rightful king. And yeah, to me, it looks like the guy who did the Sherlock Holmes movies taking that approach to the King Arthur.
Okay,
could be very interesting.
Yeah, it was one of those things that kept showing up on my Facebook feed, and I was like, okay, I'm interested. And as I looked at it, I saw Jude Law, and that connection, and you know, from the producer of Sherlock Holmes or whatever, I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. And okay. That hasn't happened a lot lately, so I wondered what you knew about it.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. And oh darn, there's no Ace of Base this week. Sorry, guys, we didn't decide on a winner of NCAA basketball.
Did you tally up how many
I've tallied up mine and Alan's, and Alan is ahead of me, so I just need to see proof of what your picks were, and then I will announce who the loser was.
So the loser's going to be between the two of you.
The winner is
Thank
Alan.
Thank you very much.
The loser
Thank
is
you.
Between us. I'm just waiting for Devin's pitcher because I have a feeling I lost this one, but I need to see that proof.
Okay, hang on a second. we're gonna do this live right now, and you are going to see my screenshot.
All right, I'm Googling the lyrics, but I need to see that proof.
John, you might be the best suited to sing an Ace of Base song anyway, so it's good.
and you can have a week to practice if you need to. I mean, we don't have to do this right now, but I've been telling you, hey. Okay, here comes the screenshot.
Oh boy.
And you will see, I told you guys, I think I told you last week, I had 36
you
picks
did.
Correct.
You told me 36. Alan had 41 for the record.
Thank you very much.
And mine was 32, so I just need to see the proof.
Well, there you go. You just got it.
Devin sent me a photo. 36. All right, here it goes.
Oh, you're doing it now. Okay, then.
I got a new life. You would hardly recognize me. I'm so glad. How can a person like me care for you? Why do I bother when you're not the one for me? Ooh, is enough enough? I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. Life is demanding
without understanding.
I saw the sign, and it opened up my mind. I saw the sign. You know, I went into the wrong key back there, and I recognize it.
Oh man, that is a perfect ending to this show.
Yes, it is.
Alan,
I don't even let you know. Hey, everybody, you know where to find Jedi and Germs on your podcasting app. You know where to find us on Twitter and Facebook. I don't know if there is any other way we could possibly end that. I'm going to ask John to take us out, but I don't even know that he can even top that. So, John, with that, let's put a topper on this. Take us out.
I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign.
Bye, everybody.